everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. My buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom, I'm sure this morning reminded you of your days, your many years of service on the radio up in Alaska. It was that cold.
I could tell you 24. Stories that would probably make your ears tingle.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the inch or two thick of ice in my bird bath is nothing.
Would you be interested in the coldest temperature I experienced when living in Alaska?
Are you talking about wind chill or real?
Real honest to goodness temperature.
I'm going to say 37 below.
With the air not moving.
Yeah, 37.
Reverse those numbers.
73 below zero.
Yes, wow. Sir. Mm. And the interesting things that happened because of 73 below is another story to tell.
My car won't start. Oh, that might have been just the beginning. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, the third day of February 2022. We're in our 12th year on the radio, 34 years now on radio and TV in Tucson. The Buckmaster Show broadcasts from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030. The call letters KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have all of our podcasts of our program at buckmastershow.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Without further ado, let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, the Lone Republican. Steve represents District 4. He's the Lone Republican on the 5-member Board of Supervisors. Supervisor, how is your year going so far?
So far, so good, but it's early yet. I have to make it an alignment point that you just brought up about your show being on so many years, so successfully.
34 years now here.
34 years, and I'm entering my fifth year as supervisor, and again, just like you, it's amazing to look back and think, my gosh, it's already been, for me, 5 years, and I'm sure you have the same reflection when you look over the last 34, but it's been 5 years since I've been first elected.
When I came down here from the Bay Area over to Channel 6 in January of 1988, you were at the dealership.
I was running the our family dealership, Galloway Motors.
Long had you been into it then? If I was in there in '88,
I'd been starting in my college years, the summers of 1973.
Wow!
So I worked the summers until I graduated from American University in Washington D.C. in '76, and the day I got my diploma, I turned right around from Washington and drove right back to Galloway Motors. And never looked back.
Did they put you on the sales floor?
No, at that time I was in the service department. I was
writing up service,
listening to disgruntled customers, which of course gives me the background that's very helpful.
Yes, as a supervisor. Yes. So hopefully you don't have too many complaints.
No, I have wonderful constituents.
Okay. A month ago for your first visit of the new year, we talked about this. And then you later, after our interview, articulated it in an op-ed piece, first in Dylan Smith's Tucson Sentinel, then the Star ran it. Basically, you said this whole thing about the Regional Transportation Authority, that if Tucson wants to leave, goodbye.
I did. And my thought process was going back to the early days of the RTA, which are near and dear to my heart because I was on the original Citizens Advisory Committee. I served on the PAG board. I served on the RTA board. I chaired it. I have never seen a collaborative or regional effort that has been so successful to address infrastructure problems in our community and the projects that have gone to a successful fruition are just so numerous and so plentiful that I was very distressed at the way the city of Tucson was posturing, that they were having inequitable funding, they were having unfair project programming, that they weren't being heard. I know that all of that not to be true because I lived and breathed it for a number of years in the RTA, and basically it was, in my estimation, a bullying effort for the city of Tucson to basically take over the RTA and control its destiny, as instead of having the collaboration of the region involved. And I've noticed also that the RTA really does not do anything to acknowledge the benefits of the RTA that the city of Tucson has reaped over these decades. I outlined them in my op-ed, and they are not only significant and comprehensive, but they are many. And all you have to do is go through any intersection in town or go through any corridor, and Valencia Road, Tanque Verde, Houghton, on and on and on, that these were multi-million dollar projects that were greatly needed. And the city of Tucson basically overlooks those and says that they're being treated unfairly, and they're not getting their fair share of the funding, and they're not being heard. And all of those charges and claims have been refuted time and time again by other RTA staff and jurisdictional heads. So,
and they wanted weighted voting, which is something the legislature would have to change.
And so, certainly the legislature does not look favorably upon the city of Tucson. So that's kind of a dead issue right in the beginning of it being brought to surface.
So is it your understanding that the city, for now anyway, is still on board with the RTA?
Well, yes. And I think in the court of public opinion, or I should say the court of regional opinion, the city of Tucson finally realized after some weeks that they were losing the battle and that their position was not being looked at in a very favorable light, their comments and their posturing. And their positioning, and I think they were being subject to their constituency as well as the regions in a negative manner. And at that last meeting of the RTA, they grabbed some of these softballs or soft bones that the RTA threw to them to keep them in, trying to show that they are quote-unquote working with the RTA and to show everybody, see how we are willing to stay in the RTA and be part of it. Well,
like more representation on committees.
Yes. Yeah. And, these are, I would not say earth-shattering conciliations that the RTA is making, but nonetheless, the city of Tucson grabbed them up very quickly in an effort to change the perception of their past bellicose approach to the whole system. So they took this as an opportunity to maybe address their PR approach. But I think if you read into the comments by the mayor and certain members of the city council, it doesn't take a clairvoyant or someone with a great translationable ability to look into the words that the mayor says, that there's a lot of work left to do. We still have many unanswered issues that we will be expecting answers on. These issues that have been brought up before are not over, and we look forward to more hard work and discussion. Well, read into that they're not done making more demands, and I predict that they will make more demands as the process goes on.
Steve Christie is with us. We're talking about the Regional Transportation Authority. He had a question from one of our listeners, so this came in just a minute or so ago about this subject. Would you ask Mr. Christie, can you justify why 8/9 of the region should control, I guess 8 of the members of the 9 jurisdictions should control the money, of which the vast majority comes from the city of Tucson, which only has 1/9 control over its taxpayers' dollars.
Well, that's a fallacy about the amount of money that the city of Tucson is receiving. Right now, they're well over 62% of all funding that's coming into the RTA being sent directly to city of Tucson projects. If you look at the number of projects they've received the vast share, the majority. And secondly, the system that the city of Tucson agreed to and helped negotiate and should be held accountable for was the one jurisdiction, one vote rule that would prevent any jurisdiction and or larger cities or the smaller jurisdictions to control or block any kind of unfairness that might happen. It was an equitable method to keep the RTA moving in a collaborative regional way. And by putting it in that regard, it'll require, again, legislative action. And that's going to fail because of the Republican-controlled legislature. They're not going to be in any kind of mind to approve anything that the city of Tucson is trying to achieve. And it's a matter of fairness and equity. And it's worked beautifully since 2006.
And the city is going ahead with a May 17th election for the voters of the city to extend a road work project for the city. And I think it's a 700, what it was, 740.
Are you talking about the tax?
The $740 million road fixes for the city voters. They could extend the sales tax.
So
how does that impact RTA or does not? Well, does it?
It does in the sense that it will impact any future, perhaps, raising of the RTA tax because at this particular time, it's a half-cent sales tax. And then if you have another half-cent sales tax in the city of Tucson and the RTA wants to maybe include maintenance in its mission, that would require raising its tax. That would hamper it. And I look at the numbers that the city manager and the city council have forwarded us as to what they're predicting that they're going to raise some $57 million over 10 years. Mm-hmm. Do they do any kind of accounting for what they've been so critical of the RTA? Is there any factoring in for inflation? Is there any factoring in for maybe another recession like the RTA had to undergo in 2008? The city has been very critical of those issues, of the RTA not putting inflation into their mix or being short-funded as a result of an unforeseen recession. That could very well happen to the predictions and the numbers that the city is forwarding here, and they don't have anything included in that either. So they're criticizing the RTA on one side then not doing it themselves. Plus, we've just learned that they're going to give free ridership and modern
street. How does that impact the RTA?
It impacts the city of Tucson $1 million a month that they're going to have to pay for free ridership. That is monies that will not go to roads that they can't take from their general fund, that they can't take from their taxes, that they're going to have to pay out of their own pockets. That's certainly going to take away from any kind of road work. And I also have to ask the people in the city of Tucson, of which I am one. I am a resident of the city of Tucson. I moved into the city the same year the first half-cent sales tax was enacted. And if you remember, that was designed to go to roads and then public parks as well as public safety. Well, I live right next door to the Fort Lowell Park, and that is a city park. And they haven't done anything to it in 5 years. So I ask my fellow residents of City of Tucson, are we better off 5 years? Are we better off that we were 5 years ago with that tax today?
All right, we are we're over time here. It's time to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Steve Christie, you know I love Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Right now, what would you go for? A croissant? Would you go for a donut? What would taste good to you right about now?
Something in the pie area.
Like a piece of pie?
Yes.
I think they can accommodate that up at Mona's Danish Bakery. I had a cherry pie a couple of weeks ago that was outstanding. Mona's open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast Tuesday through Sunday. The website looks great. All the pictures, beautiful color pictures of all of the menu items. That's at monasdanishbakery.com. Mona's Danish Bakery, open right now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. More with Pima County Supervisor Republican Steve Christie right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We continue now with Steve Christie, Republican, Pima County Supervisor, District Number 4. And before we leave the RTA, because there are an item or two that I would like to touch on that are not transportation related, the way it's set up now that each of the communities have an equal voice in Southern Arizona. Some would say, I mean, look at South Tucson, they will say. One square mile city has equal vote as the city of Tucson.
Well, that's the beauty of the RTA, and that was how it was established through the legislature and through the public support in its vote of approval, that there was one vote, one jurisdiction, and that the size and the population was not a factor in that, but an equal voice on the Pima Association of Governments region, and particularly the Regional Transportation Authority. And I think it kind of has a checks and balances effect that I think is very effective. It prevents larger communities from dominating all of the funding and all of the projects. And at the same time, it gives a voice to people who perhaps would otherwise not have a voice. I think the more voices, the better. And folks who make the statement that that smaller communities are not worthy of that voice are really in a situation where it has a certain arrogance to it. And I think that everybody in Pima County, jurisdictionally, size and population should not play into it, but the fact that they are in this region, that plays into it, and they should have an equal voice.
The board at the most recent meeting, I think it was you guys had a board meeting on Tuesday, It was a 4-1 vote, and you were the lone dissenting vote about this statement that would be read, presumably, at the beginning of every board meeting. After there would be the Pledge of Allegiance, right? And then there would be this statement, which has to do with honoring the tribal nations of Pima County. I could read it, but it's basically saying that they're honoring, that we need to honor the Tohono-O-Otum Nation, the Pasquayaki tribe, both within Pima County. Why did you say no to this?
Well, for a number of reasons. First of all, as a native Tucsonan and a lifelong resident of Pima County, I'm very proud of our heritage and our founding and the generations and the centuries that go back that make Pima County such a rich and diverse community. And certainly the indigenous people and communities played not only a significant part, but a major part in that history. So I respect and appreciate all of that. And I do believe it should be acknowledged. My particular issue with this land acknowledgement to be read every meeting before the Board of Supervisors meeting is that I feel the Pima County Board of Supervisors should look to ways to uplift the community as a whole, not to specify one community over another. And also, what does this statement do to make our school system better, to bring more jobs into Pima County so all can benefit in the economic development that comes when that happens? It doesn't address a community-wide, regional-wide, county-wide statement. It's very specific, and it has to be read at every meeting. I think it should be read on certain observations or special celebrations or landmark dates that need to be reflected upon, but certainly not every meeting, and it doesn't need to be carved in stone. And I felt that it was not inclusive of the entire county and all of the diverse communities that we have. So I had a specific issue with that. It's a beautifully crafted statement. There's no doubt about it. And there are many opportunities for that statement to be read. And just as an aside, whenever we go back to in-person meetings someday, all you have to do...
When is that going to be?
Yeah, good question. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is look at the DS, and we have all the flags of all of the nations in full display at every meeting, at all meeting long. So they are represented, and this is a kind of a statement that needs to be utilized during special occasions, special celebrations, special remembrances, but certainly not carved in stone before every Board of Supervisors meeting.
Now, tomorrow we'll be talking with the acting Pima County Administrator, Jan Lesher. She'll be our Friday Focus interview, and I'll try to get some numbers from her about where we are on, when all was said and done, Steve Christie, how many employees did leave the service of Pima County over the COVID?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you said you're hearing different numbers.
Yeah, I've been kind of focusing basically on law enforcement because I viewed this process and mandates of vaccinations and what it was causing not so much as a public health issue as a public safety issue. So that, of course, led to my concern over the sheriff's department and the jails. So at this particular point, I really can't speak to the entire county employment, but I can speak to certain sections of it that I think are the most important, and certainly public safety employees in the county are the most important. And it's
who are not only at the jail, but out on the streets.
Well, yeah. Yes, but those aren't considered vulnerable communities, our deputies out there. It's just the corrections officers in the jail at this particular point. I've gotten mixed results of asking for numbers between the corrections officers unions, the deputy unions, the attorney for both those unions, from the county administrator, from the sheriff's department. They don't differentiate between the actual employees that were physically terminated, officially terminated, versus those employees who just quit because they didn't like the pressure and they didn't like the negative atmosphere and job environment that was being perpetrated upon them. I've heard anywhere from 22 corrections officers to 75. But whatever it is, my question again that I ask and I've asked continuously, if there is a riot or an uprising or a violent threat at the jail system, is it better to have an experienced, career-minded, professional corrections officer there to protect the public in that event who may or may not be vaccinated? Or is it better to have no corrections officer there at all?
All right, Steve Christie, how are you liking the job?
I keep forgetting to tell you this, Bill. I love being supervisor.
I know you do. All right, Steve, great to see you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
I want to talk a little bit about Green Things. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, 3384 East River Road. You know that area, Steve. I know you do. The Green Things has that beautiful 13-acre site. They got everything you need for the garden.
We've gone there quite a bit.
Yeah.
My wife really likes it.
It's a terrific spot. And, of course, they have Zocalo Village, all that wonderful, much of it handcrafted furniture from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. They are in their 51st year of business open daily. We'll be right back with Dr. David Levy.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico always makes a great getaway. Start your planning now by visiting Southwest New Mexico. That's spelled out, southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of great information about things to do. And great places to stay over in Silver City, which is only about a three-hour drive from the Tucson area, a beautiful area of the land of enchantment. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Dr. David Levy in Vail, Arizona. Dr. Levy, the contributor on science of the Buckmaster Show, the former science editor of Parade Magazine. He heads up and is the founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization, also one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, 23 comets to David's credit. Dr. Levy, I presume, how are you?
Hi, Bill. It's good to speak with you, although I just enjoyed your commercial you just did with Green Things. And I think in a few days we'll be seeing green things, but today we're all shivering.
We're seeing a lot of ice, I'll tell you that. The bird bath up at the Buckmaster home was pretty solid ice. I imagine Vail, Arizona got a pretty good freeze, too.
Oh, yeah, we're having icicles. I'm actually riding today with icicles.
There you go. Have you utilized this Chiricahua Astronomy Complex yet, David?
Yes, I have. We go there every month. My friend David Rossiter and I, we go there once a month for a couple of hours of observing. I do that amount of comet hunting while we're there, and then we come back home. It's a lot of fun, and there are two things we love. I love the observing, and I love watching the trains on the way back.
They can go on for miles, can't they? They're pretty cool.
I saw one the other day that was 150 cars long.
Are you kidding me? Oh my!
I'm serious.
Oh my goodness!
It was 150 cars going east, so it took its time.
Heading.
And then there was another one going west, and that was coming downhill. It was really hopping along, and it took about a third of the time.
Yeah, David. Fewer meteors right now this month.
Yes, there are. We had the opening of the year quadranted meteor shower, but since then there have been a few. It's been like five or six nights without seeing any meteors at all. And I love meteors, and despite the fact, Bill, that I am a comet discoverer, as you mentioned in the beginning, in the introduction, the thing that I enjoy, and I have a lot of telescopes, the thing that I enjoy more than anything else is watching shooting stars without a telescope at all. I just love going out there, sitting out, and watching for meteors when it's not frigid like it is now.
Do you, Norm, how often do you see a shooting star?
Well, I usually see at least one a night, although right now, at this time of year, we're having quite a paucity of them, so it's really kind of difficult to see any. But I usually see one or two each time. If I'm out for a couple hours, I'll see a couple. Some nights much more than others.
We're in that
trend. And I like to try to trace them back to where their radiant are, where they come from. There was a nice one last night. I was with some kids observing and at one of the local schools, and we saw a long-lasting, slow-moving meteor going through Orion.
Oh, you know, Orion is my favorite. I love Orion.
I know it is, yes.
And you said you were with some young people, and you know, maybe that viewing last night and seeing that shooting star, you may have sparked a lifelong interest in a young person in astronomy.
I hope so, Bill, because that's how I got started. One single meteor, one single shooting star from summer camp on the 4th of July, 1956.
Mm. Well, let's hope that spark was ignited last night. David, it's time for the David Levy quote of the month. What do you have for my listeners this month?
This month, it's a little unusual. It's Vincent van Gogh, and he did not write poetry, as you know.
No, he didn't.
But he knew how to paint.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a letter that he wrote to a friend of his. He says, "A starry sky is something that I should like to do." And he said, just as it takes a train to travel here on Earth at the time, we take death to reach a star. Anyway, when I was an undergraduate, Don McLean came out with a song called Vincent, and it was a tribute to Vincent van Gogh.
I remember.
And I have a couple of lines from that I'd like to share with you right now.
Please.
And when no hope was left inside on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you. Just a couple of lines from that beautiful, beautiful song.
I remember the song very well, and that was... Yeah. That was the big hit that also came out when he came out with that song, American Pie.
Yeah, it was on the same album.
Yeah, same album. That was one of my favorite albums. Thanks for reminding me about that. David, thanks a lot. Always a pleasure, as usual. And I think we've got you all set for March, so we'll look forward to that.
Yeah, March date is okay, and okay. We'll see you. And hopefully we'll really have green things.
I hope so. And the folks over at Green Things can always help if you're looking for plants that can withstand even a cold night like we had last night. They can help you. Great, knowledgeable people over there. All right. My best to Wendy. Have a great day.
Thank you. Wendy sends her best to you back.
Okay. David Levy with his monthly visit with us on the Buckmaster Show. Up next, our monthly visit with our legal contributor, the attorney, Mr. Don Luce, is in the house, ready to go on. The legislature is back in session. That means we've got plenty of things to talk about with Don. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. Jan Lesher will be here, the acting Pima County Administrator. She'll be our Friday Focus interview. I've known Jan, I think, I've been in town 34 years on TV and radio. I think I've known Jan probably for about 30 years. It'd be good to see her tomorrow. But right now, it's always good to see my friend, Attorney Don Luce of Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce, our legal contributor on the show, the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing, but Don, first of all, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
But with Arizona Laws 101, you could probably put out a new edition every year based on the number of bills, and there have been a lot. Well, last session, a ton of bills, and a lot of them go to the governor to be signed into law.
That's true. In fact, I want to talk about a couple today. But last year, to your point, 1,774 bills were brought either to committee or to the floor.
What?
Yep. 474 of those bills went to the governor.
Mm-hmm.
The governor signed 445, vetoed 28, and let one take effect without signature.
Can you imagine?
And now, we only have a part-time legislature.
Yeah.
They convene every January, and they generally go 100 days, April or May. Sometimes they go as late as June, depending on what's happening. But in that short period of time, 3 to 4 months, they're generating about 2,000 bills. It really is incredible.
Why in the world do we need 450 new laws in Arizona? I don't have any idea. But one bill that's not going to see the light of day, and a lot of people are really happy about this, even on our Monday political face-off, where our two Republican and Democrat disagree on everything, I brought this up on Monday about this bill that would, in effect, allow the state legislature to overturn elections. And both of our guys here Monday said, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. And so before I talk about that, which is House Bill 2596, I'd like to point out that the House of Representatives now has 31 Republicans and 29 Democrats, very closely divided.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, it was 31 Republicans and 29 Democrats, so it's even more divided now than it was 2 years ago. The Senate has 16 Republicans and 14 Democrats, meaning that you pretty much need everyone in the majority party to be on board.
Yep.
If the opposition party doesn't support the bill.
Mm-hmm.
So the one that got nixed, HB 2596, as you pointed out, would have given the legislature the incredible power of essentially questioning every election result.
Mm-hmm.
The sponsor of that bill was John Fillmore, a Republican from Apache Junction. And there were basically four separate pieces to the proposed legislation, because it's going nowhere, and I'll explain why in just a sec. Number one, it would have repealed laws allowing anyone to get an early ballot except only with those having an excuse, like being hospitalized.
What?
Yep. Right now, pretty much everyone gets an early ballot.
Yeah.
Two, it would bar all of the forms of early voting, requiring that ballots be cast only on election day. Three, It would prohibit the use of Election Day voting centers available to anyone within a county and restrict people to casting ballots only in their home precinct. And then four, as you pointed out, would require the legislature to call itself into special session after every election to review the ballot tabulating processes for both the primary and general elections. And it would permit lawmakers to, quote, accept or reject the election returns.
So much for the will of the people, right? It would be the legislature saying, the results were not the way we want it, so
now,
it's over.
Now, this is the part that I find most interesting. Instead of simply refusing to assign this bill to a committee for consideration, the speaker, Rusty Bowers, assigned it to all 12 House committees, which would require that all 12 approve the bill before it goes any further. And I think everyone agrees that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
Got
it's
another
unacceptable.
Bill. Got
said,
another
according
bill.
To Bowers, unacceptable, and I think I guess most people would think, I certainly think it's unacceptable. But go ahead, Don. There's another one. Actually, there's been quite a few kind of what is under the heading of voter reform bills at this session.
Right, right. Let's call these new rules about voting.
There you go.
This one is HB 2241, also out of the House. Unlike 2596, which essentially got killed by the speaker, 2241 is going to live to see another day. It was passed out of the House Committee on Government and Elections on a party line 7-6 vote. Now, under this bill, it would prohibit election officials from accepting already filled out early ballots at polling places unless the voter first provides identification. Now, in my mind, the curious thing about this is currently anyone who receives an early ballot and properly fills it out can either mail it or drop it off. You don't have to show ID. Under 2241, which, as I mentioned, narrowly passed the Committee on Government and Elections Committee on a party line vote, the voter, if the voter mails it, no ID required. If the voter waits until election day and takes it to the polling place, ID required. And the ID would have to be something that shows the voter's name, and the name, of course, matches the name on the ballot affidavit. Now, if the person dropping the ballot off is dropping somebody else's ballot off, something that you and I have talked about before and some people call ballot harvesting or some form of ballot harvesting, then in addition to showing their own ID, they would also need to sign an affidavit stating that they are handling the ballot only from a family member, household member, or caregiver. Because as we've discussed in the past, those are the three categories that of people that you can actually deliver a ballot for. So on somebody else's behalf, if they're a family member, household member, or caregiver, it's okay. Neighbor, unrelated, not okay. So we already have some rules about who can deliver a ballot for someone else. This would impose an additional requirement that the person delivering the ballot show ID.
And violation would be actually a felony?
A felony, potentially carrying a one-year prison sentence.
Well, let's move on from the legislature to a topic we have not addressed in recent visits, which is kind of surprising because there was a time there we were talking about marijuana and marijuana laws almost every session. But my friend Eddie Salea of the Arizona Daily Star, who's been a contributor here on our Friday program, also covers the marijuana beat for the Arizona Daily Star, and he's got a new piece out in the Star about something called the issue surrounding social equity for marijuana licenses. What's this about?
This is a very interesting concept, and it was part of Proposition 207, which the voters enacted, basically legalizing the recreational use of marijuana for adults.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as part of that proposition, there was a provision or a clause that said 26 licenses need to be set aside for people from communities disproportionately impacted by the enforcement of previous marijuana laws. So 26 licenses. And there are only somewhere in the neighborhood of 120 or so licenses, if I recall correctly. So this is a pretty significant
proposal. This would be an additional?
No, this is part of that group. Mm-hmm, that's my understanding.
Part of the group.
So 26 licenses for people from communities disproportionately impacted by the enforcement of previous marijuana laws. Hmm. That is what the voters said. That is how they spoke when they passed Prop 207. Now, so who makes sure that that happens, that actually happens? Well, in Arizona, it's the Arizona Department of Health Services. That is the agency that is charged with essentially regulating the marijuana industry within the state. And you'll remember that marijuana in Arizona first became a reality on a limited basis in 2010. For medicinal purposes, when the voters passed the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act. Most recently, Prop 207 expanded that to essentially any use or purpose for adults. So 26 of these new licenses are earmarked for social equity, they're earmarked as social equity marijuana licenses. A lawsuit was filed by two groups, the Greater Phoenix Urban League and Acre 41, which I believe is a group of black female entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And they were challenging the way that the Arizona Department of Health Services had adopted the rules for these 26 licenses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why is that important? Well, one reason it's important is because each of these licenses has a market value of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And they're freely transferable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're lucky enough, oh, by the way, I should point this out. There are, well, how many applicants do you think would be
eligible for the 26
licenses? For the 26 licenses.
I don't know. I would think it'd be a very limited amount of number.
1,500 applicants.
That surprises
for 26 licenses.
That surprises me.
So if your lucky number comes up, you have effectively won the lottery or something just as good, because these licenses are very, very valuable. Anyway, getting back to the litigation, which was brought in Maricopa County, the Superior Court judge found that even though the plaintiffs in the action objected to the rules that the Arizona Department of Health Services adopted, it was within their purview to administer the program as they saw fit, and he upheld the Department of Health Services rules, which means that there's almost a certainty that some of those licenses are going to go to large multi-state cannabis companies, which in turn, as I mentioned, have the right to immediately transfer them, and each one is worth millions of dollars.
That's Don Luce of Luce Law Group in offices here in Tucson and Phoenix. Don, thank you. Great to see you.
Thanks, Bill.
Don's two books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, What All of Us Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. On behalf of Don Luce, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Also, a big have a great afternoon from our buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Dave Ramsey's very popular show, Talking About Money, one of the top-rated talk shows in the United States, follows the Buckmaster Show right now. Have a great day.